Welcome to the Divine Will Podcast, where we read and study the writings of the servant of God, Louisa Picaretta. Let us begin. Today, we will read from the volumes of Louisa for our part 3 of The Passion of Our Lord Jesus Christ. These volumes will be referencing the 12 a.m. hour through to the 5 a.m. hour. November 19, 1926. The divine will is agonizing in the midst of creatures. My always amiable Jesus, drawing me into his adorable will, made me see and feel the dolorous conditions in which the ingratitude of creatures place him. And sighing with sorrow, he said to me, "My daughter, the pains of the divine will are inconceivable to the human creature. It lives in all creatures, but is under the nightmare of a tremendous and heart-rending agony, because creatures, instead of giving it dominion to let its life rise in them, they keep it repressed and deprived of the liberty to be able to act, to breathe, to palpitate. In its stead is the human will, which acts, breathes freely, palpitates as it wishes, while mine is only to serve it, to concur in its acts in which it lives out as agonizing, suffocated in the dolorous state of a prolonged agony of long centuries. It struggles in the creature with remorses of conscience, delusions, setbacks, crosses, weariness of life, and all that which can give annoyance to human life. These are the calls which it uses so that the creature can re-enter into herself and give it a little rest from its tortured agony. So dolorous is the agony that my humanity, which wanted to suffer it in the Garden of Gethsemane, reached to the point of seeking help from my very apostles, help that it did not even obtain, for which the pangs were so great that I sweat living blood. And feeling myself succumb under the enormous weight of the agony, so long and tremendous, of my divine will, I invoked my heavenly Father that he help me, saying to him, "Father, if it be possible, let this chalice pass from me." In suffering all the other pains of my passion, for however atrocious, I never said, "If it is possible, let this pain pass from me." Rather, on the cross, I cried, I thirsted for pains. Instead, in this pain, I felt all the weight of an agony so long, of the torture of a divine will that agonizes, that suffers atrociously in the human generations. What sorrow, my daughter, what torment! Now the supreme fiat is tired, and at whatever cost, wants to go out from this so prolonged agony. The divine chastisements which pour down from heaven are none other than the accentuated struggles of its prolonged agony, by which, not being able to endure it longer, it wants to let the human family feel its dolorous state. It wants to let souls feel its existence in them, yet it no longer wants to be in a state of agony. It wants liberty, dominion. It wants to develop its life in them. What disorder, my daughter, in society because my will does not reign. Souls have become as houses without order, all topsy-turvy. The stench of evil is horrible, more than that of putrefied cadavers. And my will agonizes in the midst of so many evils. And this in general is everywhere. In particular, it is much more serious in so many consecrated to the Lord. In them, my will not only agonizes, but is even in a state of lethargy, as if it really did not have life. Oh, how more dolorous is this state because, in the agony my will at least struggles, has an outlet, makes its existence felt in them, though agonizing. But to agonize in a state of lethargy, oh, how much more is it racked with pain, because it is constrained to suffer even total immobility, the state of continuous death. Thus, the interior of these souls is drowsy, as if light and good are not for them, and if they do something externally, it is void of divine life, and disappears in the smoke of vainglory, of self-esteem, and of pleasure, while my supreme will, although it lives in them, remains stranger in their behavior. My daughter, what affront! How I would like to let everyone feel my tremendous agony, the continuous death rattle, the oppressive lethargy in which souls place my will, because they do not want to know it, they do not want to let it reign. Behold why it wants to overcome every obstacle with its accentuated strugglings, so that if souls do not want to know it by way of love, they will know it then by way of justice. It is tired of its agony of centuries, and therefore wants to pass forth in order to come to reign on earth. And this it will do in two ways, by way of triumph, that is, with its knowledges, prodigies, and its immense and infinite goods, by way of justice, that is, with its divine chastisements, for who does not want to know it triumphantly? It thus awaits creatures to choose the manner in which they want to receive it. Volume 14, March 18th, 1922. Jesus has prepared for everyone, for each person, what they needed for their rehabilitation, for their healing, and for the restoration of their beauty. I was accompanying my sweet Jesus in the sorrows of his passion when he manifested himself and said, "My daughter, sin chains the soul and keeps it from doing good. The mind feels the chains of guilt and is impeded from comprehending good. The will feels the chain of guilt, shackling it, and falls into a stupor. Instead of desiring good, it desires evil. The desire to fly to God feels that its wings have been cut off. Oh, how I feel compassion when I see men shackled by their own faults. That is why the first sorrow I wished to suffer was that of being chained. I wanted this to liberate men from their chains. The chains that shackled me became bonds of love as soon as they touched me. When my chains touched mankind, they burnt and destroyed those that bonded humanity and bound men to me with chains of love. My love is an active love. It cannot exist without acting. Therefore, I prepared for everyone, for each person, what they needed for their rehabilitation, for their healing, and for the restoration of their beauty. I did everything so that if they make up their minds, they will find everything ready and at their disposal. My chains are ready to burn theirs, the pieces of my flesh to cover their wounds and beautify them, my blood to give them life. Everything is prepared. I have reserved for each one what that person will need. Since my love desires to give of itself, desires to act, I feel a craving, an irresistible force that does not permit me to be at rest unless I give. But do you know what I do when I see that almost no one accepts what I offer? I concentrate my chains, the shreds of my flesh, and all of my blood in those who desire them and who love me, and I fill them with beauty. Then I shackle them with my chains of love, to multiply their life of grace 100-fold. Only then does my love find its fulfillment, satisfaction, and repose. As he said these things, I saw his chains, his shredded flesh, and his blood flow over me as he rejoiced in applying all his merits upon me, and shackled me entirely. How good is Jesus! May he be ever blessed! And so he returned later and added, "My daughter, I feel the need for the creature to repose in me, and I in her. But do you know when the creature reposes in me, and I in her? when its intelligence thinks of me and understands me, she reposes in the intelligence of her Creator, and the Creator's intelligence reposes in the created mind. When the human will unites with the divine will, the two wills embrace and repose together. If human love rises above all created things and loves only its God, what beautiful repose do both God and the soul find? Whoever gives repose finds it. I put her to bed in my arms and keep her in the sweetest sleep. Volume 13, November 16, 1921. Jesus was bound in the course of his passion in order to free man from the ropes and chains of sin. This morning, my ever amiable Jesus showed himself completely bound, his hands and feet, his waist, and from his neck hung a double chain of iron. He was so tightly bound that all motion was impossible for his divine person. What a hard position, enough to make even rocks cry. And Jesus, my highest good, said to me, "My daughter, during the course of my passion, all the other sufferings tried to outdo each other, but at least they provided a change. One gave way to another. They arose, almost like sentinels, to do me increasingly more harm, each one wanting to brag that it was worse than the others. But the ropes were never removed from me. I was taken to Mount Calvary, continually bound. Indeed, they kept adding ropes and chains out of fear that I might escape, as well as to make a greater joke of me. How much sorrow, confusion, humiliation, and falls these chains provided me. Be aware, however, that in these chains there was great mystery and great expiation. Man, in beginning to fall into sin, remains bound with the very chains of his sin. If the sin is mortal, the chains are of iron. If venial, rope. Whenever he is on the point of doing good, he feels the interference of the chains and is unable to act. The interference that he feels unnerves and weakens him and leads him to new falls. If he acts, he feels interference in his hands, almost as if he had no hands with which to do good. The passions, seeing him bound like that, rejoice and say, "Ours is the victory." From the king that he is, they make him a slave of brutal passions. How abominable is man in the state of sin! By wanting to free him of his chains, I willed to be bound. I never wanted to be without chains, in order to have them always ready to break man's chains. And when the blows and pushes made me fall, I stretched out my hands to untie and free him once again. While he was saying this, I saw almost all the peoples bound up with chains, who were pitiful to behold. I prayed that Jesus might touch their chains with his own, so that from his touch the chains of creatures might be shattered. Volume 13, November 22, 1921. The acts done in the divine will are days of light for Jesus. How perverse is pretense! I was continuing in my usual state and keeping vigil almost the entire night. My thoughts, ever so often, flew to my prisoner Jesus. He appeared in a thick darkness, so much so that I felt his labored breath and the touch of his person, but I didn't see him. So I tried to unite myself with his most holy will, making my usual acts of sympathy and reparation. A ray of the most brilliant sunlight came forth from within me and reflected upon Jesus' face. His most holy face was illuminated in that ray. Daylight came and the darkness was dispersed, and I was able to embrace his knees. He said to me, "My daughter, acts done in my will are like daylight for me. If man with his sins surrounds me with darkness, then these acts, even more than solar rays, defend me from darkness and surround me with light, helping me to know from creatures who I am. That is why I so love the person that lives in my volition, for in my will he can give me everything and defend me from everyone. I feel like giving him everything and enclosing within him all the good things that I ought to give to the others. Suppose that the sun possessed reason and that the plants were rational creatures, and that they willfully rejected the light and warmth of the sun, desiring neither to be fertile nor to produce fruit. And suppose that there is only one plant that lovingly receives the sun's light, which would like to give to the sun all the fruits that the other plants don't want to produce. Would it not be just that the sun, withdrawing its light from all the other plants, pour all its light and warmth upon the one plant? Now, what cannot happen to the sun, because it doesn't possess reason, can happen between the soul and myself. Having said that, he disappeared. Later, he returned and added, "My daughter, the pain that wounded me the most in my passion was the affectation of the Pharisees. They feigned justice, while they themselves were the most unjust. They feigned holiness, regularity, order, yet they were the most perverse, outside of every rule and in total disorder. While they feigned honoring God, they honored themselves, their own interest, their own comfort. Consequently, the light was not able to enter within them, because their affected ways had closed the doors. Their pretense was the key that, with double locks, shutting them in to their death, stubbornly impeded even a glimmer of light. Even the adulterous Pilate found more light than the Pharisees, for everything he did and said derived not so much from pretense as from fear. I feel more drawn towards the most perverse sinner, one that is not deceitful, than towards those who are better but deceitful. Oh, how someone disgusts me, who on the surface does good, pretends to be good, prays, but within whom evil and self-interest lie hidden. While his lips are praying, his heart is far from me. At the very moment that he is doing good, he is thinking about how to satisfy his brutal passions. Then the deceitful man, despite the good that he apparently does and says, is not able to give light to the others, having sealed shut the doors. Thus, they act like incarnate devils, who, under the guise of good, tempt man. Seeing the good, man is attracted, but when he is at the most beautiful point of the path, they throw him into more serious sins. Oh, how much safer are temptations under the appearance of sin than those under the appearance of good. So it is safer to deal with perverse persons than with those who appear good, but who are deceitful. How much poison do they hide? How many souls do they not poison? If it were not for pretense, and if everyone would know me for what I am, the root of evil would be removed from the face of the earth, and everyone would be undeceived." Volume 12, January 2nd, 1919. In the Passion, all was silent in Jesus. In souls, all must be silent concerning themselves, and they must speak all that is of Jesus. This morning, my amiable Jesus made himself seen under a shower of blows, and with his sweet glance he looked at me, asking me help and refuge. I flung myself toward Jesus to take him away from those blows and to enclose him in my heart, and Jesus said to me, "My daughter, my humanity was silent under the blows of the flagellations. Moreover, not only my mouth was quiet, but all in me was silent. Silent was esteem, silent was glory, power and honor. But in their mute language, they spoke eloquently of my patience. the humiliations, my wounds, my blood, even the annihilation of my being, almost to dust. Hence, my ardent love for the health of souls put an echo on all my pains. This, my daughter, is the true portrait of loving souls. Everything must be silent in them. Esteem, glory, pleasures, honors, greatness, creatures, their will. Moreover, if she should have any of them, they must be as dead to her as if she should see nothing. Then instead, she must maintain within her my patience, my glory, my esteem, my pains. Hence, all that she does, thinks, and loves will be nothing other than love, which will have a single echo with mine and will ask me for souls. But alas, how scarce is the number of those who listen to me. Volume 4, March 19th, 1901. Jesus explains the easiest and most profitable way to suffer. This morning, as I was all oppressed and in suffering, much more so because of the privation of my sweet Jesus, after much waiting, I saw him for just a little, and he told me, "My daughter, the true way of suffering is in not looking at whom the sufferings come from, or at that which one suffers, but at the good that must come from those sufferings." This was my way of suffering. I looked neither at the executioners nor at the suffering, but at the good I intended to do by means of my suffering, also for the very ones who gave me suffering. And looking at the good that was to come to men, I disregarded everything else, and with intrepidness I followed the course of my suffering. My daughter, this is the easiest and most profitable way to suffer, not only with patience, but with unconquered and courageous heart. Volume 12, December 4th, 1918. Signification of the prison of Jesus in his passion. The meaning of Jesus' imprisonment during his passion. I passed this night together with Jesus in prison. I pitied him. I embraced his knees to sustain him. And Jesus said to me, "My daughter, in my passion I wanted to suffer even prison, to free the creature from the prison of sin." Oh, what terrible prison is sin for man! His passions enchain him as a vile slave, and my prison and my chains free him and release him. For loving souls, my prison formed their prisons of love, where being safe and defended from everything and everyone, I chose them to have them as living prisons and tabernacles that could warm me from the coldness of the tabernacles of stone, and even more form the coldness of creatures who, imprisoning me in them, make me die from cold and hunger. That is why many times I leave the prisons of the tabernacles, and I come into your heart to warm myself from the cold and to nourish myself with your love. Moreover, when I see you go in search of me in the tabernacles of the churches, I say to you, are you not my true prison of love? Search for me in your heart and love me. Volume 13, October 29th, 1921. Jesus bound and alone in the dark and gloomy prison. I passed this night in vigil, and often my thoughts flew to my Jesus, who was tied up in prison. I wanted to embrace those knees that were shaking because of the painful and cruel position in which the enemies had bound him. I wanted to clean away the spittle with which he was soiled. But while I was thinking about that, my Jesus, my life, appeared to me in pitch darkness, in which I could hardly make out his adorable person. Sobbing, he said to me, "Daughter, the enemies left me in prison alone, horribly bound and in darkness, so that all around there was nothing but pitch dark." Oh, how this darkness afflicted me! My clothes were wet from the dirty water of the torrent. I smelt the stench of the prison and the spittle with which I was soiled. My hair was in disarray, and there was no one merciful enough to remove it from my eyes and my mouth. My hands were bound by chains, and the darkness prevented me from seeing my condition, which was, alas, so sorrowful and humiliating. Oh, what things my sorrowful condition in this prison was communicating! I stayed in prison 3 hours. In so doing, I wanted to restore the three epochs of the world, the law of nature, the written law, and the law of grace. I wanted to free everyone, reunite everyone, and give them the freedom that belongs to my sons. By staying 3 hours, I wanted to restore the three stages of man, childhood, youth, and old age. I wanted to restore man when he sins through passion, through will, and through obstinacy. Oh, how the darkness that I saw around me made me feel the pitch darkness that sin produces in man. Oh, how I wept for him, saying to him, O man, it is your sins that have thrown me into this pitch darkness, which I suffer so that I can give you light. It is your iniquities that have soiled me, iniquities that the darkness does not even permit me to see. Look at me. I am the image of your sins. If you want to know them, look at them in me. During the last hour I was in prison, however, dawn broke, and through the cracks a few glimmers of light entered. Oh, how my heart was relieved in being able to see my sorrowful condition. This light symbolizes what happens when man is tired of the night of sin, and grace, like dawn, surrounds him, sending him glimmers of light to call him back. So my heart gave a sigh of relief. In this dawn I saw you, my beloved prisoner, you whom I love had to tie up in this condition and who would not have left me alone in the darkness of the prison. Awaiting dawn at my feet and following my sighs, you would have cried with me about the night of man. This comforted me, and I offered my imprisonment to give to you the grace of following me. But the prison and the darkness have yet another meaning. The long sojourn of my imprisonment in tabernacles and the solitude in which I am left, often with no one to speak to or to give a glance of love. Other times, in the sacred host, I feel the touch of unworthy tongues, the stench of festering and corrupt hands. There is no one who touches me with pure hands and perfumes me with his love. How many times human ingratitude leaves me in the dark without even the meager light of a lamp? Thus my imprisonment continues, and it will continue still longer. Since we are both prisoners, you a prisoner in your bed, all alone for the sake of my love, myself a prisoner for you, I want to bind all creatures with my love, using the chains that keep me bound. We will keep each other company. Therefore, and you will help me lay out the chains that will be used to bind all hearts to my love. Afterward, I thought to myself, how little we know about Jesus, while he has done so much. Why have they spoken so little about everything that my Jesus did and suffered? Jesus, returning once again, added, my daughter, everyone is stingy with me, even the good. How much stinginess they have concerning me, how many restrictions, how many things that I tell them and that they understand about me that they do not reveal. And how many times are you yourself stingy with me? How many times? Either you don't write what I tell you or you don't reveal it. It is an act of avarice that you employ with me, because every new insight that someone has of me is one more glory and one more love that I receive from creatures. Be more generous with me, therefore, and I will be more generous with you.
Speak the word and make a world in me, where you can rest and reign eternally. Let there be light to fill the night that still surrounds your sacred heart. Lord, speak the word and make a world in me, where you can rest and reign eternally. Let there be seas and endless shores where we can go and walk for hours. Lord, speak the word and make a world in me, where you can rest and reign eternally. Let all my prayers rise up like trees, lifting their limbs in silent praise. Lord, speak the word and make a world in me, where you can rest and reign eternally. Let all my thoughts be shooting stars, reminding you that I am yours. Lord, speak the word and make a world in me, where you can rest and reign eternally. Let all my words be bold as whales and beautiful as nightingales. Lord, speak the word and make a world in me, where you can rest and reign eternally. Let all my deeds be one with yours, shaking the earth like dinosaurs. Lord, speak the word and make a world in me, where you can rest and reign eternally. And may you say to me, my own, my flesh, my bone, my spotless bride. Lord, speak the word and make a world in me, where you can rest and reign eternally.
This concludes our podcast for today. This podcast is coming from the Louisa Picaretta Center for the Divine Will. For more information, please call 423-566-5178. Thank you for listening. God bless.